The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And as always, for the next hour, information that you can use to maintain your good health. You may not be getting the kind of information you need in order to maintain and enhance the state of health. And so today, very, very important information on health support. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
And it's very interesting that the subject you've talked about or you've chosen for today's show is something that's very, very much under the radar. There may be some very informed listeners who have understood the issue with regard to cellular health and in particular mitochondria, but they certainly are not discussing it with their doctors.
Well, a lot of times, and what we're talking about is mitochondrial dysfunction. That's what we're going to explain today and help you learn how to protect yourself from that.
Okay, some of our listeners might not necessarily know the function of mitochondria. Certainly we've all heard the word, but might not understand the importance of mitochondria in our health picture.
Well, every cell has mitochondria, and they're they're called organelles. They're like an organ within an organ, or an organ within a cell. And their purpose is to create energy.
Okay, critically important. And when we're talking about energy, we're not necessarily talking about how you feel going through the course of the day, but the energy to actually allow function of that tissue.
So how often have you been to a doctor with a complaint? And of course, he doesn't necessarily give you an explanation of why you have it or what causes it. And a lot of times they don't even know. They will say, well, we don't know, but we'll give you a drug to take care of it.
Well, I had someone over the weekend come to see me, and what her doctor had said is, well, we've tried everything, so now you have to learn to live with it.
Right. Well, it's better to avoid it in the first place. So the concept of mitochondrial dysfunction was first described in the 1960s. So, you know, I mean, people have known about this for a long time, but we're learning more and more about it because there are a lot of conditions that are brought on by mitochondria dysfunction. So I'm going to go through some of the conditions, and then we'll go through how we damage our mitochondria. I think that's what's important to understand. So what are some of the conditions? They talk about neurologic conditions like schizophrenia, bipolar disease. That's either manic or depression. Dementia, Alzheimer's disease. Now, whoever thought Alzheimer's disease, when you ask your doctor what causes it, they'll say, well, you have these
neurofibrillary tangles
right in the brain. But what's the cause of that?
Well, we don't even find out about them until after an autopsy has been performed.
Exactly. Epilepsy. Now, I know this is a topic you've lectured on, migraine headaches.
Absolutely.
Associated with mitochondrial dysfunction, strokes, neuropathic pain. What does that mean? That means your peripheral neuropathy. You have burning feet, tingling feet, painful feet. Maybe it's not diabetes that's causing it. Maybe you've developed a peripheral neuropathy because of mitochondrial dysfunction. What about Parkinson's disease or ataxia, which is an unsteady gait, strokes? Now, here's a big one, cardiomyopathy. Now, how many people even know what that word means?
I would venture to say most of the individuals are not familiar with the term.
Well, it's a very broad term. Cardiomyopathy encompasses pretty much everything that goes wrong with the heart.
Okay, pretty much everything that goes wrong with the heart, including the heart stopping?
Yeah, I mean, arrhythmias, congestive heart failure, these are all cardiomyopathies.
Okay, so cardiomyopathy, the myo part of it would be muscle. Muscular mm-hmm. damage. The pathy is the damage, the diseasing.
So you have the heart is related, even coronary artery disease. Now you have the real common conditions like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. When you ask your doctor, what's causing that? So we don't know, but take this drug.
And so here's, I think those two are such critically important areas to discuss, because how many people are functioning just under the radar? And it is, certainly it makes very good sense that it is mitochondrial damage. And you think about the post-Lyme disease syndrome, where for years after someone has been diagnosed with Lyme disease, they never fully recover. Mitochondrial damage.
Here are a couple other ones associated with mitochondrial damage. Diabetes, hepatitis C. And here's one that's not that common, but nobody seems to understand why it happens. That's primary biliary cirrhosis.
Okay, very, very interesting, because I do see a number of clients with that diagnosis.
So when you say something, you know, mitochondrial damage, it's kind of vague. It's hard to put your finger on it. Until you associate it with some of the conditions I just mentioned. But here's the whole point of this discussion. We're going to get into it in more detail in a minute. Medications have now emerged as a major cause of mitochondrial damage. So, in other words, you know, now we have maybe a better explanation.
Wow.
About all these symptoms and illnesses that people get.
So the poisons that you talk about that are pharmaceuticals, there's the pathway for ultimately damaging tissue and function.
And it's some of the common drugs that people take without thinking twice about it. All classes of psychotropic drugs. Now.
So things, antidepressants, insomnia medications.
Even the benzodiazepines.
Okay.
Valium, Xanax.
Okay. Anti-anxiety drugs.
Statin drugs.
Whoa. Okay, see, I have been on that for so long, Dr. Slavin, and here's research supporting the statement that you're going to damage your body with statin drugs.
Now, how about this kind of analgesics, you know, like Tylenol and the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories?
Wow, the research on this has to be absolutely mind-boggling, because it would describe exactly how these chemicals go about damaging the mitochondria. Amazing stuff.
So we're bringing this up because in its earliest stages, you know, mitochondrial dysfunction is probably asymptomatic. You've damaged the underlying mechanisms of how your body works, but it hasn't reached a critical point where symptoms occur. And sometimes the first symptom for mitochondrial damage, especially if it affects your heart, could be sudden death.
Whoa, I think you have our audience's attention now, Dr. Slavin.
So we mentioned, you know, it can affect every aspect of your body, you know, from your nerves, you know. Nerve problems are a very common problem. What are some of the symptoms you can have?
A twitchy eyelid.
Well, think about this, you know, gastrointestinal problems. You wouldn't think of that as being a nervous or a nerve problem, but nerves control the gastrointestinal tract. So in other words, constipation could be a reflection of mitochondrial dysfunction.
Okay, and it makes very, very good sense. So every one of those cells that are supposed to be supported and highly functional in your lower digestive tract have mitochondrial damage. The function of those cells is depressed, and the result is constipation. And you would say, oh, that's such a common problem. Eat more fiber. But even eating more fiber, drinking more water might not necessarily achieve the relief that you're looking for from the constipation because it's cellular damage.
So how about gastroesophageal reflux? Now we're seeing all these common problems that reflect perhaps mitochondrial damage. And now you have to figure out, okay, how did I damage my mitochondria?
And see, I see so many people with that diagnosis of all ages. And I have never been able to figure out what is happening. Because as I review their diets, it isn't that big an issue. So mitochondrial damage brought about by the statin drugs, by Tylenol, by antibiotics, by a variety of different chemicals available either over the counter or by prescription, actually damaging the cells that line the upper digestive tract and leading to this very uncomfortable situation of indigestion, heartburn, and you go to your doctor and you're diagnosed with gastroesophageal reflux disease. But why did that happen?
And so this is a nation that takes more drugs, I think, than the rest of the world combined. And I think the problem with the use of all these drugs is the underreporting of side effects and the fact that when a drug is approved by the FDA, there is actually no testing to see if they're causing mitochondrial damage. That's not a thing they look for. So this is a real problem. When we come back, we're going to go into a specific class of antibiotics that's notorious for causing these problems.
And that music means that it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and today we're talking about the potential for mitochondrial damage and the far-reaching effects that may have on your health. Stay tuned. More to come.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin with critically important information to support your overall health and well-being. Dr. Slavin?
So it seems we've been talking about mitochondrial dysfunction, and that term has been around for a long time, but it's picking up steam a little bit. Some, you know, people are talking more and more about it as an explanation for so many illnesses that heretofore we had no explanation for, such as peripheral neuropathies, diabetes, neurological problems, Alzheimer's disease, even Parkinson's disease. And we were mentioning that, you know, some of the categories of drugs like Alzheimer's, Xanax and Valium, a lot of people take those. They can cause mitochondrial dysfunction.
It's so common, and people tell me, well, I take the lowest dose. And I haven't ever had anybody who's told me I take the highest dose.
Now, I want to just mention the, you know, when you talk about mitochondrial dysfunction, I guess you could think of chronic fatigue would be the most easily associated symptom. If the mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell or the place where energy is made or the battery of the cell, if you've undermined it, you know, chronic fatigue might be an explanation. But we're seeing a lot more. It goes far beyond that.
What about people who talk about chronic pain? And here's my line of reasoning. The mitochondria begin to fail to function, and the situation might be the reduction in the ability to achieve restful sleep and the ability to function. You go less and less and less energy, physical bodily energy. And then there is ultimately cell die-off because of the mitochondrial damage. And when that cell dies, that's possibly the progression that you were talking about, Dr. Slavin, of cardiomyopathy. And to understand that it just doesn't happen in the heart. It happens in the brain. It happens throughout the body in the nervous system. It happens throughout the body in the muscles. So very, very comprehensive damage across the board throughout the body. And when a tissue begins to fail to function properly, my assumption is there may be pain associated with the cellular destruction there. Very, very across the board, critically important information for our listeners.
Now, one category of drug that's been associated with mitochondrial dysfunction are the fluoroquinolones. Now, a lot of people may not be familiar with that category, but that's the category that includes Cipro and Levaquin, Avalox. Those are the most common in that group. There are a few others, but those are the common ones. And just so you understand, too, fluoroquinolone, the fluoro refers to fluoride. So you have to understand, you know, we've talked about how dangerous fluoride is before, and perhaps drinking all that fluoridated water could be a cause of mitochondrial dysfunction as well. But here we're talking about these drugs, which have been found to be extremely dangerous. And they hand it out very easily, unfortunately.
With no thought whatsoever to the potential side effects and how they may affect someone who has already been facing a certain amount of cellular destruction or cellular damage. People with low antioxidant status, people with inflammation. So the potential for even more extreme damage is there. Wow.
Well, when they first came out, I think Cipro was the first one, it was promoted as a great drug for urinary tract infections. And when the drug reps would come around, they really didn't point out the potential side effects associated with it.
When we had that issue with a toxin being sent through the mail after the 9/11 debacle, there was information put out into the mainstream media that Cipro was the only antibiotic that was going to help you recover if you were intoxicated with this.
You're talking about anthrax.
Anthrax with this bacteria.
And I think that's where those drugs belong in life-threatening conditions.
But they were telling people to use it preventively.
No. Now, the Food and Drug Administration has issued a warning several years back already.
And it got very big mainstream headlines, right, Dr. Slavin?
Right. I never heard the warning before, right? They said that this category of drug, we're talking about Cipro and Levaquin, in fact, all the fluoroquinolones, but those are the common ones, carry a risk for permanent peripheral neuropathy. So what is a peripheral neuropathy? It's serious nerve damage, which has several causes, but this category of drug is one of them. And it may occur soon after these drugs are taken and may be permanent. So just something to consider. Now, I mentioned earlier, okay, how do you know if you have a peripheral neuropathy? It can happen in your legs or in your arms. It's characterized by pain, burning sensation, tingling, numbness, weakness, or even a change in sensation to light touch, pain or temperature, or a sense of body position. I mean, these are pretty serious.
Devastating.
Yeah. Especially, when you handed out a drug that you don't think twice about taking. In fact, so little regard is being paid to the dangers of Cipro that you can actually present a prescription to Publix and get it for free.
Right.
One of the drugs I hand out for free.
Very, very interesting, because one of the things that I was looking at this morning before coming here to do the radio show was information about the restaurants that have pledged to provide antibiotic-free meats. And so there were two companies at the top of the list, and then some very surprising non-participants. And sometime we'll go over that list, Dr. Slavin.
Now, to put things into context, back in 2008, the FDA posted a black box warning regarding the fluoroquinolones about severe tendon damage, like a rupture of the Achilles tendon.
And what's very interesting about that is the potential for that ruptured Achilles tendon and other severe tendon damage tends to happen months after having consumed that class of antibiotics. And many times people have no reason to connect that tendon damage with the antibiotic that they consumed months and months before. Very important to have that knowledge that after taking any of the fluoroquinolones that you understand the long-term risk.
Now, Janet, does the name Dr. Jay Cohen ring a bell?
No,
he's written several books. I can't think of the titles offhand, but he documented this association with fluoroquinolones and peripheral neuropathies. He stated, by the way, he did this 12 years before the FDA finally took action, at least posted a warning about this category of drug. He states that nervous system symptoms occurred in 91% of patients
Whoa.
Taking fluoroquinolones. And what does he mean by that? The nervous system symptoms he's referring to is pain, tingling, numbness, dizziness, malaise, weakness, headache, anxiety, and panic, loss of memory, and psychosis.
Oh, my goodness. So you think how many people might be dealing with each one of those different categories of dysfunction and threat to overall healthy function, and how this information may very well be outside of the patient's realm of consciousness. It is not given mainstream attention, and people need to know this.
Now, also associated with this category of drug are musculoskeletal symptoms in 73% of patients. That includes tendon rupture, tendonitis, weakness, and joint swelling.
Wow. Okay, so I can understand kind of the situation about this, how this comes about. So the psychological, psychiatric aspects of the potential damage. With the antibiotic, you wreck your gut chemistry. With just completely eliminating beneficial bacteria along with pathogenic bacteria, you can understand the connection between your gut and your brain. Ultimately, that brain chemistry function is unbalanced, severely unbalanced, because the neurons tend to be wiped out along with that beneficial bacteria in your gut.
Now, some of the neurologic symptoms patients reported, and about 42% of them who had taken the fluoroquinolones included tinnitus, that's your buzzing in the ear.
Wow.
Altered vision, altered smell, and altered hearing. So these are far-ranging side effects. In 36% of the patients who have taken this drug, they reported cardiovascular symptoms from tachycardia, meaning a rapid heart rate, shortness of breath, could represent congestive heart failure, chest pain, coronary artery disease, palpitations, 36% of the patients. Then when it comes to skin, 29% of the patients mentioned a rash, hair loss, sweating, or intolerance to heat or cold.
Such critically important information. And I think what happens here, Dr. Slavin, as it reverts back to the statement that you made earlier, these drugs need to be reserved for life-threatening situations. And I don't know how many of these, this category of antibiotics might be used in livestock maintenance, but very, very important to understand that when you are dealing with the meat from a commercial venue, that meat is very well contaminated with antibiotics. And I'm going to venture to say that there is so much more potential damage done with these drugs, and drugs across the board, not necessarily just the antibiotics. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zamorelli with Dr. Herb Slavin. More to come.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute, services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Dr. Slavin and I'm Janet Cimarelli. We are here giving you the kind of information you will not hear anywhere else, and important for people to understand how critical it is if you want to preserve your health. Dr. Slavin?
Janet, we started off today's program talking about mitochondrial dysfunction and just saying some of the common ailments people experience could be the manifestation of mitochondrial dysfunction. Things as common as gastroesophageal reflux, for example, aches and pains, fibromyalgia, fatigue,
constipation,
headache.
Oh.
And then we mentioned all the different categories of drugs that have been associated with mitochondrial function, antibiotics, the statin drugs, even metformin used to treat diabetes.
Really?
Can actually increase the risk of a mitochondrial dysfunction. Now, here's a real eye-opener. Back in 2010, the number one best-selling drug was Levaquin.
What year was that, Dr.?
2010.
Okay. I can imagine way over-prescribed.
Probably. But what was nice about Levaquin, it's a once-a-day antibiotic, which is nice. Again, you have to reserve it, you know, this category of drug for life-threatening conditions. But here's what I wasn't aware of.
Okay, yes, my hand is in the air. Mm-hmm. I have a question. Might the side effects of Levaquin be in the future? You wouldn't necessarily feel the side effects immediately upon use?
Correct. So you might, but usually it could take a couple of days, a couple of weeks, or a couple of rounds of the antibiotics is cumulative. And these drugs are used a lot. And here's what I wasn't aware of, that there are actually thousands of lawsuits each year from people who have been seriously harmed by taking Levaquin. And here are some of the reactions people have experienced. Retinal detachment. Now, that can cause blindness. In fact, I have a patient.
Wow.
She experienced bilateral retinal detachments. I don't know if she was given a fluoroquinolone. I haven't, but I just, you know, don't know for sure. But she has other issues that could have caused that. It could cause acute kidney failure, brain fog. How many people complain of that? Depression, hallucinations, psychotic reactions, painful rashes, phototoxicity, that means light sensitivity, nausea and diarrhea, hearing problems, disruption to blood sugar metabolism, and peripheral neuropathy. Now, now, who would have thought or made the connection between these conditions?
And isn't it interesting, Dr. Slavin, that the FDA continues to allow that into the marketplace and there are no boundaries set on it? So here is the potential for a very valuable antibiotic, but that would be confining the use to life-threatening situations.
So here's some other warnings that need to be issued. They haven't yet, but the FDA may be, it's actually looking into this. Liver toxicity and greater risk for people with diabetes. So if you have diabetes and taking these drugs, you're even more at risk. And perhaps, you know, they have to limit their use. Now, two of the drugs, amoxifloxacin and levofloxacin, that's Levaquin, were found to increase the risk of acute liver toxicity in people age 66 and up.
Amoxifloxacin, is that amoxicillin?
No.
Okay.
That's one of the fluoroquinolones.
Right.
The name for that one is Avalox.
Okay.
Now, that issue of acute liver toxicity, taking those drugs, were published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal back in August 2012. And the authors of the report recommended the FDA consider regulatory warnings regarding acute liver toxicity. Also, these drugs taken orally increase the risk of high blood sugar or low blood sugar reactions for those with diabetes. And that was published in the Clinical Infectious Disease Journal. Now, I bring this up. These are all peer-reviewed journals. You just can't get anything published in there unless you had real scientific proof of what you're talking about.
Okay. One of the things that I think will get people's attention is that this class of antibiotics destroys collagen. That certainly does explain the potential for damage to your ligaments and tendons and the potential for a blown Achilles tendon, which is critical. The other part of this is aging and how your joint works, how stiff and flexible your joints are, and how your facial skin appears.
Well, here's something now. We're talking about fluoroquinolones. The word fluoro is referring to the fact that they're fluoridated or fluorinated. These are drugs that have fluoride molecules in them. So it's the fluoride probably that's the real cause of these problems. Well, what are some of the other common fluoridated drugs out there? Prozac.
Whoa.
Now, what's the generic name for Prozac? It's fluoxetine, and the fluox, the first part of it, refers to fluoride. Some of the other include Prevacid, Bakal, Dalmane, which is flurazepam, but these are all fluoridated drugs.
Bakal is to lower your cholesterol,
yes.
Correct?
Yep. Statin drug. So they did animal studies on this category of drug, and they were all found to be directly toxic to collagen synthesis. In other words, the manufacture of collagen in your body. It would also promote the degradation of collagen. So fluoride disrupts collagen synthesis, which may be part of the reason that fluoridated pharmaceuticals. So we're not just talking about fluoroquinolones. We mentioned the others like Prozac and Prevacid and Dalmane and Bakal. This category of drug have all been associated with damaging your muscles, tendons, cartilage, ligaments, and other structures. Now, when we say muscles, remember your heart is a muscle. So you're going to get, you're creating the risk there.
So imagine combining the antibiotic and one of those statin drugs. We already know that the statin drugs cause muscle and tissue breakdown, particularly tissue breakdown associated with muscle cells. And you combine that with one of these fluoroquinolone antibiotic categories, and the potential for damage to your heart is huge. And are the cardiologists paying any attention? They're number one. I'm going to say they're at the top of the list doing the prescribing for the cholesterol-lowering drugs.
Right. Now, remember we mentioned about 73% of the people who have taken fluoroquinolone experience musculoskeletal symptoms like tendon ruptures, tendonitis, weakness, joint swelling, and then add to that another 36% who have taken it experienced cardiovascular symptoms. What they found also that predisposes you to some of the side effects of fluoridated drugs. So I'm not, now we're going beyond just the fluoroquinolones like Cipro, Levaquin, and Avalox. We're getting into some of the other drugs, some of the statins, antidepressants like Prozac, sleep remedies like Dalmane. They're all fluoridated. Is a magnesium deficiency. They have seen now that a magnesium deficiency along with these drugs really increase your risk of side effects. And guess what? Magnesium deficiencies are extremely common.
And the only way to really identify a magnesium deficiency is not a test that is routinely done. So if you use, you're relying on a test for magnesium presence in your body and you're doing a serum magnesium test, it's very, very unusual to see serum magnesium so depleted that it has the potential to really identify that depletion. What you need to do is red blood cell magnesium level, because the magnesium's found within the blood cell, and that's where you have to test the presence. And with that test, you will be able to identify the function of magnesium within your body.
Jenna, you mentioned earlier, you know, when we mentioned the association with antibiotics and these mitochondrial damage, and you mentioned just how common antibiotics are used in livestock, and so important to find out that the poultry or the beef or the, that's most of it.
Dairy herds, though. Okay.
Are hormone free.
Yeah.
You know, more
pork, on pigs.
Pound for pound, you know, based on the number of pounds of antibiotic used, livestock consume more than humans consume.
Hugely contaminated.
So it's another source of these substances. You know, I've brought up too, you know, we talk about fluoridated water. If the fluoride is associated with mitochondrial damage, even if you've chosen to avoid fluoride by purifying your water or getting mineral water that hasn't been fluoridated, what's the source of the water that all the livestock is drinking? Are they drinking fluoridated water?
Most likely,
yes. Then, you know, and then you have the fluoride in their tissues as well. So it's really a big problem. How to address it is to just be aware that of the potential risks of these drugs, and then avoid them whenever you can and look for safer alternatives.
Well, making informed choices, that's the point of why we do Natural Doc Radio, Dr. Slavin. It is, I believe, mandated that by the year 2018, a specific percentage of the antibiotic compounds used in livestock production have to be removed. I'm not certain of the dates, but there is a mandate presently written. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back. Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more, or visit amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. As usual, we're giving you the kind of information that allows you to make informed decisions that protect your good health. And if you're relying on the FDA, if you're relying on the medical community, the pharmaceutical companies, you will not necessarily get the kind of information that you will get here on Natural Doc Radio.
So I've never heard this term used before, fluoroquinolone toxicity syndrome.
Whoa.
But a syndrome really means just a collection of symptoms that you see, and in this case, associated with the use of fluoroquinolones. But really, you should say associated with exposure to fluoride, I guess, whether it be in the water or primarily in the drugs you're being given. A lot of drugs are sources of fluoride. And some of these symptoms you might see in the fluoroquinolone toxicity syndrome include diarrhea, vomiting, tendinitis, decreased energy, painless muscle twitches. How many people have had that and didn't pay any attention to it? Memory loss, urgency of urination.
So, Dr. Slavin, if someone went with information that they printed off the internet and went to their doctor and said, I think I have fluoroquinolone toxicity syndrome, what might the doctor say?
I don't know. We'll have to get some feedback from patients to see what the doctors have said to them. But just how many people are at risk? Let's consider these numbers. Since so many people are being prescribed these drugs, actually a lot of people are at risk. I've got some statistics here that look at the number of prescriptions written. I just want to go through this.
So a huge number of prescriptions, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they were looking at just the number of prescriptions, and then based on the statistical amount of people that might have a reaction to it. So they said that during a clinical trial, the overall frequency of adverse effects associated with the fluoroquinolones ranged from 4.4 to 20%. 15.6% spread in frequency of adverse reactions is a huge difference from 4.4 to 20%. It implies that the actual occurrence of adverse reactions is difficult to establish. But putting all that into context, the FDA figures above note that 26.9 million patients were given fluoroquinolones in 2011. So if you use the 4.4% number of people getting adverse side effects, that's over a million people.
Whoa.
And if you use the 20% figure, that's over 5 million people. Those are really large amounts of people getting sick. And then we mentioned all the illnesses associated with it. And what do they get for those? More drugs.
That's right. More chemicals, more toxic chemicals, more chemicals that have the potential to do mitochondrial damage.
So here's what I would think. If you have any of those symptoms we talked about, which could reflect mitochondrial damage, one of the things I would recommend is getting at least an echocardiogram. Make sure you don't have a cardiomyopathy. Make sure that it didn't affect the most important muscle in your body, namely your heart, because the first symptom of a cardiomyopathy might be sudden death from an arrhythmia, for example.
Okay, so someone gets an echocardiogram. They see that there is cardiomyopathy. What's the next step?
Well, at least you're aware of it. And then, that's the problem with these drugs, too. They don't, some recommendations are to take antioxidants and help rebuild the mitochondria, restore their function.
Okay, and see, that was one of the things that I think is so critically important for people to understand is support your antioxidant status. And My question is, and maybe it needs to be reserved for tomorrow's radio show, is what are the companies that are manufacturing these drugs, and might their executives have an ability to convince me that, oh, number one, they didn't know about the damage that is possible with these drugs, and number two, that they have no way of overcoming the potential damage. So here's my paranoid self, and I'm thinking, okay, these huge multinational corporations are very well aware of the damage. They may also be very well aware of ways of overcoming the damage or changing the product in such a way that it would not be so universally damaging. And so those companies continue to manufacture these chemical toxic substances, so-called pharmaceuticals, and the downline is they create business for the medical industry. I said it was my paranoid self, but well, there you have it.
I think the point you're trying to make is, could these drug companies be promoting a drug in the marketplace and at the same time aware of all the serious side effects, including death, from their drugs?
I mean, how could you ever think
of that? How could you think of them ever doing such a thing?
Okay.
Let me think.
The income
Vioxx. I mean, the point is they pulled a lot of drugs from the market after they've been approved. Now, how could that be? Since nobody's ever held accountable, how do you approve a drug? In other words, how does the FDA approve a drug, and then a year or two after the drug's been on the market, that they pull it off the market because of serious side effects? Shouldn't that have been aware prior to the approval?
And the individuals associated with that approval resign from their positions at the FDA and then go to work for the pharmaceutical company for which they approved the drug.
So, two things then. Learn about the drugs your doctors are prescribing for you, and then, more importantly, try to avoid drugs at all costs. Save them for the treatment of last resort, because we've talked about the risks associated with fluoroquinolones, but if the risk of not taking it is death because of a serious infection, then it makes sense to use that drug. But if you have a mild urinary tract infection where there are alternatives available...
I have many alternatives for...
Then I think it would be wise to try the alternative, despite the fact that you can get Cipro, for example,
free of charge
at Publix. I don't know if other places are giving it out free of charge. And I'm really wondering why they're making it so easy to get a drug with such a dangerous side effect profile, and the people aren't even aware of it. Although I'm pretty sure in the handout it must list a lot of these risks associated with taking the drug.
I believe it does, and a lot of times the prescribing physician tells the patient that they might just not really read that section handed out to them when they pick up their pharmaceutical, because it might put in their minds, it might get them to think they are experiencing the side effect. It might predispose that thought process. I kind of think that that's a very, very sad situation. I am very much for the informed patient. The outcome with an informed patient, in my opinion, is usually a much better, much healthier support for your overall body function than not knowing about these negatives.
The number that really surprised me was just how many lawsuits that are currently in play in patients that were given Levaquin and experienced side effects. And, they're not being warned about it. Patients aren't really being given a fair choice about, some of these drugs. And they really should be. And if you ask your doctor, okay, what's another drug I can use? What's a safer drug? Well, problem is, I think doctors prescribe a lot of drugs that aren't safe. In fact, all the drugs, I don't think there's one that has nothing on their adverse reaction list. You know, they all have a serious adverse reactions. You can never predict who's going to have the reaction and who isn't. But now we're just seeing that a lot of people are having reactions that aren't being attributed to the drug. And I think that's the problem, too. So when you don't know, just, you know, think about ways to avoid the drugs. They hand it out way too easily, and you can see how they're associated with problems. And I think the number was, you know, in the, what was it, in the millions of lawsuits every year, just with Levaquin and the side effects.
Very sad state of affairs, and unfortunately, on that note, we have to wrap up. But tomorrow, we'll come right here on Natural Doc Radio with some good news. What are the things that you can use to overcome a problem and minimize your exposure to fluoroquinolones? You've been tuned to Natural Doc Radio with Dr. Herb Slavin and me, Janet Cimarelli. We'll be back tomorrow at 10.
Been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily